And as we've come to know at this point, through our study in the book of Corinthians, Paul is preparing for a visit to the Corinthians. And so there are instructions found in here about an offering that will be received when he comes with others. But the letter, it's not just the sort of the housekeeping details to do with this this offering, but the letter's primarily taken up with Paul preparing for his visit, that the visit with them will go well. So he's appealing to the Corinthians because their heart has become disaffected towards him. And not only that, they have allowed false apostles to come into their midst. So they're in danger, some of them at least, of departing from him and his gospel. And of listening to false apostles with a false gospel and not Paul and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're in a section now, so dealing with the false apostles, chapter 10 through chapter 12. And there's a clear theme in these chapters. And the theme goes off this word, boasting. It's, you know, boasting. It occurs 22 times in these chapters. So right, I mean, that gets you clued in that that's a big theme. In 22 times in these chapters, there are let me say before I move on, Paul does not like boasting. But when he does it, he always does it in Christ. When he boasts, he boasts in, so he says, you know, I can only boast in Christ because my trust is completely in him. I can only boast in Jesus because I know only his power can change the lives of people. But there are these rival teachers, these false apostles that have come into the church in Corinth with a different gospel, making extravagant claims about themselves. They are boasters. And that's what the Apostle Paul is addressing. They've come in and said, right, effectively, maybe directly, that Paul has nothing to boast about. We do, but he doesn't, poor thing. He has nothing to boast about. So there's a group in the congregation who are attracted to these rivals, but Paul will not allow them to go unchecked. And that's what these chapters are about. He's checking the influence of the boasters in the church in Corinth. So there's a sense, you probably read these chapters yourself before, and there's a sort of an awkwardness about them. You know, it's sort of Paul has to boast, you know, defend himself. He has to do it. He has to boast in the way that, you know, he does, so that part of the church that will not be led away by the boasters who are asserting Paul has nothing to boast about. Which is why the word boast happens a lot in these chapters, right? It is strange. But it's what Paul is responding to. He's a nobody. He has nothing to boast about. We do. Paul's conclusion is verse 17. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You know, we have a hard time with boasting, right? Our moms and dads told us, you don't boast, right? I mean, you bragging, right? I remember my mom telling me that a few times in my earlier years. So you get to these chapters, boasting, really? Well, understand, this is not bragging. You know, we used to say as kids, I'm the king of the castle. You're the dirty rascal. You know, that kind of thing. So what is it that Paul's talking about when he talks about boasting? So I'll ask the question, what is boasting in the Lord? And in these words that we read together, 2 Corinthians 10, he has examples of boasting. Two of them are positive, three of them are negative. And I want us to look at them with you this morning as we look at these words in 2 Corinthians 10. So what is boasting in the Lord? First of all, boasting in the Lord means praising him for whatever he does in us or through us. Boasting in the Lord means praising him for whatever he does in us or through us. Now look at verse 7, the beginning of verse 7. Look at what is before your eyes, Paul says. Look at what is before your eyes. Paul is saying, open your eyes, Corinthians. Look at what ought to be obvious to you. Open your eyes to what, Paul? Well, remember, Paul's qualifications as a gospel minister are being called into question. In verse 3, in verse 2, he's accused, right, of walking according to the flesh. So the question is Paul legit? Is he a legitimate gospel minister? Is he a legitimate servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? And he goes on. How does he answer? He says, if anyone is confident that he is Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. Now, that doesn't mean there's expecting, is he a Christian at all? But rather, in his ministry, is his ministry spirit-filled? If you look at chapter 13, verse 3, Paul says this, some seek proof that Christ is speaking in me. So there's the charge, right? His ministry's not spirit-filled. He's not the real deal. He responds, how does he answer? Corinthians, open your eyes. Right? I mean, look in the mirror. Corinthians, you know, look in the mirror. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see a Christian? You do. Well, how did that happen? Look in the mirror, Corinthians. Do you see a church of the Lord Jesus Christ? You do? Wow, I wonder how that happened. Right? Do you see what he's doing? He's saying, you see, what he's coming to them is, how do you explain yourselves? Open your eyes. See. Right? What he's saying, if I'm phony, how did you get to become a Christian? If I'm not legit, how is it that you're walking with Christ? Open your eyes. See, Paul's response is, you are my credentials. You're the ones that prove, right? The fruit that you are of the gospel is the proof. As we apply this, the point is this, for us, right? We have to ask the question, is there fruit? Because the gospel will produce fruit. It will bring about changed life. In the ministry that we do together, is there fruit? That's why Paul says, look at my fruitfulness. Look at yourselves. See what God has done in you through me. It's legitimate to ask that question. See, because the answer is, now is that we praise God. We boast in God for what he has accomplished in us and through us. It's legitimate to do that. That's what Paul is saying here. Praising God, boasting in God for what's been accomplished. So we ask, right? I've been here 14 years. Is there any fruit in the midst of us, of those 14 years of preaching the gospel? Of opening the words, of the word taking root in our hearts and lives? Is there any fruit of 14 years? We have to ask that, right? And in the face of an extremely difficult year that we've just been through, and thankfully are coming out of, a difficult year with so much in our nation, polarization affecting our own life, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ in America. Not uninfluenced by that. Has the gospel been fruitful? But not only that, is it now fruitful? Right, as the Lord enabled us to grow and progress as individuals, as a church. Are we having an impact on lives? See, that's what Paul's saying. Open your eyes, Corinthians. The gospel has had an impact in your life. Has it had an impact in your life? Are people being changed by the gospel? Put it like this. When I die, right? And you guys have to hold my funeral. I don't want, you know, everybody standing up and say, well, you know, he had a bachelor's in history. Right? He even had a master of divinity. He had this fancy accent that he used when he was speaking, right? Rolling his R's all the time. He even served on a committee at Presbytery. Like, you know, what I want is, you know, I worship Jesus because of what the Lord said and did through him. Don't you want that? Right? Somebody saying, I love the Lord more because of what I saw in her. I was really struggling, but I was greatly encouraged when he came and spoke the word to me. See? Do you want to see people changed by you? I think that's the application of these words from the Apostle Paul. Do you want that? Do you pray for that? Do you long for that? Do we collectively want to have an impact for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we? So let me ask you this question. I warn you, it's a little bit of an uncomfortable question. Somebody comes to you and asks you, are you fruitful as a Christian? Can you respond, open your eyes? Can you? Open your eyes, right? People are growing because of me. People are encouraged because of me. People are more loving and more loved because of me. That's what we saw. Is there fruit from our living out the gospel as it impacts the lives of other people? So the first boast is God is working for the good of others through us. He is working through us, and praise his grace for it. See, that's a right boast, to boast in God that he is working. The second one, what is boasting in the Lord? Boasting in the Lord means that we do not boast based on comparisons with others. One of the difficulties with these words in chapters 10 and 11 is that often Paul is quite sarcastic. And there's an example of this in verse 12. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. Do you get it right? It's irony, it's sarcasm that he's using. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without. See, they are out of their minds, is what it says. Paul is addressing, you see, these teachers that have come in, and there's two things that he says about them, that they're self-commending. It kind of goes like this. This is how I picture it in my mind. It's the kind of thing that folks come in and say, you know, everyone knows that the qualifications for a gospel ministry are these. Right. Everyone knows this, right? You know, you notice that startup. And then here's the list. Have letters of recommendation. Then visions and miracles. And I've learned the finest Greek rhetoric. See, there's the qualifications for a real, genuine, legit ministry. And who meets the standard? Right? Everyone knows what the standard is. So who meets it? Oh, you mean Paul doesn't? Wow, what a shame. So who does? Oh, look at that. We do. Isn't it good that we're here then? That's how it works. Commending yourselves according to a standard that you yourself have set. But there's another thing they're doing. And it's merely comparing themselves according to one another. Verse 12, at the end of verse 12. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. So it's like a guy with only one eye bragging about his great vision when all his friends are blind. Right? That's what it is. It is easy to look impressive when you compare yourselves with people who are like you. In other words, beware of a closed circle. Beware of a closed circle. It happens all over the place. Work, politics, business. It happens in schools. It happens in churches. People only listen to a few other people in their own closed group. And sometimes it happens. People get frustrated or notice imperfections or failures of others and gather, and there's some discontentment there, and I could do this better. And somebody else says, yeah, I think you could. Yes, really, I think you. But do you think it's my fault? Oh no, it's not your fault. I see it too. But because of the closed circle, we can become blind to our own imperfections and failures and weaknesses, and not able to see the bigger picture. And we're only comparing ourselves with one another. Now, let me say, comparison is the easiest way to boast. Because you'd always find someone less than you are. Comparison is the easiest way to boast. We so often see our strengths more than we see our weaknesses, and we're blind to the foibles of. We see the foibles of others, but we don't see their graces and their gifts as easily. See, there's a danger with comparison. It goes like this. Every time you look at another person and measure yourself against them, you're opening the door wide open to either pride or self-pity, depending on how you measure up against that person. You're opening yourself wide to pride or self-pity. And here, you throw out, as you do that, you throw out living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ and replace it with a gospel of your own performance. Compared to them, I'm doing pretty good. Compared to them, I'm not doing so great. Back and forth and back and forth. Our own performance becomes the standard. There's a third reason there's a third point of how we answer the question, what is boasting in the Lord? It's this. Boasting in the Lord means that we do not exaggerate our accomplishments or our strengths. Look at verses 13 and 14. But we will not boast beyond limits, But we'll boast only with regard to the area of influence God assigned to us to reach even to you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ. The phrase that I'm latching on to is boast beyond limits. Paul is thinking geographically. Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He goes to the north end of the Mediterranean, goes you know, Syria, across all the way to Italy and other places, and he comes all the way to Corinth. I've been to Corinth, and it is an all the way, and some others here. It is an all the way to Corinth because it's quite a trek to go all the way down there. And here, this is the work the Lord gave to him to do, and God worked through Paul so that the Corinthian church was established. And so it was appropriate that he rejoices in the work that God had done through him in establishing them. But here's the point. These others had come in and they're boasting about the work of others. But Paul didn't do that. You know, he didn't say things like, you know, Peter did some work in, you know, what we call Turkey now. And it was okay that he did that. But he wouldn't have been the man he was without me. You know that Galatians incident. He wouldn't be the guy he was if I hadn't helped him out. Paul doesn't do that. You know, there's no competitiveness in the Apostle Paul as he goes about doing his work. The false teachers are bragging about their accomplishments and their giftedness and their education and their status and what they've done. So they're overextending themselves. They're beyond their limits. They're bragging in the work of others, exaggerating their influence, making themselves look better. Let me ask you, do you do that? Beyond limits, exaggerate our influence, exaggerate, you know, making ourselves look better than we are. You know, exaggerate maybe busy. I'm so busy, right? How often do you hear that? But we have I say that sometimes. I'm so busy, and then I still find 2 hours to watch a soccer game, for instance, right? So busy. Here's a good one. We round up the good numbers and we round down the bad numbers, right? We round up the good numbers, you know, our earnings, how much we earn, or, you know, there's about 300 people in the room right here, right? You know, that kind of, or the amount of time that we pray. I pray for 40 minutes. Perhaps I haven't prayed that long since we were last in Deer Wander. Or how about rounding down the bad numbers? You know, how fast you drive. How much you drink. How much you eat. How much you watch. Exaggerate our own importance. Or you notice asking a question. Because you know that if you ask the question, it'll lead to you having the opportunity to talk about something, right, that you want to say that makes you look good. This is where we need the Lord to help us. The donkey riding humble Lord to forgive us, who did nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, went to the cross, and who takes us to the cross as well. That leads to the fourth thing. What is boasting in the Lord? Boasting in the Lord means that we do not take credit for work we did not accomplish. Verse 15, Paul says, we do not boast beyond limit in the labors of others. Do you hear those words? We do not boast in the labors of others. We do not boast beyond limit in the labor of others. You see, it's like a conceited cuckoo, right? Not just moving in and taking over, but then starts bragging about making the nest as well. And that's how it is with these folks, a conceited cuckoo. And they're bragging as if they did all this work. But Paul, in response, as I said already, he's non-competitive. It's not like he's establishing franchises when he founds churches. You notice how he goes on, verses 15 and 16. But our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence among you may greatly be enlarged, so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you, without boasting of work already done in another's area of influence. See, the principle is this. We're not trying to invade other groups or ministries who are doing faithful ministry. We're not trying to steal from the labors of others, but partnering with them. It's why we pray for other ministries here. It's why we pray for other churches here. And notice that Paul is not, franchise. He wants to see the gospel go forth from Corinth and to other areas. My loved ones, that's my prayer. I long that the group here be used of the Lord to reach to Northern Maine. Maybe down in Waterville or Augusta or other places to see churches established in places where they're needed. And then that finally leads to this fifth boast. What is boasting in the Lord? Boasting in the Lord means we value the opinion of the Lord more than our own. Do you see what he says, verse 18? For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. See, it's the Lord's assessment that matters the most. It's his judgment about us that matters the most, not mine and not yours. We're often told in the generation that we live in, young people especially, but all of us, nothing matters more than believing in yourself, we're told. Or, learn to love yourself. Or if you're okay, then you're okay. Right? You've heard all those kind of things. But listen, that's an extremely fragile foundation for boasting. It's an extremely fragile foundation for anything. Because here's the good days, you'll be proud and overconfident. Bad days, you'll be filled with self-pity and self-loathing and pain. And then, you pump up your love yourself again and up. But it's like this all the time. But the Lord says, what matters is what God thinks about you. Not even what you think about you. What matters is what he thinks about you. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord Jesus sends out the disciples and they go on this short-term mission trip. And they're given the ability to teach, the authority to teach, and the ability to heal and to cast out demons. And they go, and their short-term mission trip is a fabulous success. And they come back so excited, telling Jesus about this and this and this. And Jesus, as he hears all this, said, "Yes, I saw Satan fall like lightning as you went about doing this. I rejoice that in my name I saw Satan's kingdom being defeated." However, he said, however, do not rejoice in that. Do not boast in that. Boast rather that your names are written in heaven. Boast in that. Rejoice in that. Do you hear what he's saying? It's more amazing, it's more worthy of praising God to be a sheep than it is to be a shepherd. Boast that you're a child of the King. Boast that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is how I look at it. Each day, say to yourself, I know that I am broken. I know that I am sinful and inconsistent. But I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved me. He loves me. I'm called by Him to serve Him, at work, to serve Him as a husband or as a wife, to serve Him as a mom or a dad, to serve Him at school, in this church, to be fruitful in all these. So I'm going to get on with serving Him, whatever others might think. I'm going to do it with the strength that He supplies. That is boasting in the Lord. That is boasting in Him alone. And listen, believe it or not, doing that is tremendously freeing and empowering all at the same time. These thoughts from God's Word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We do pray that we would learn to boast in You, to rejoice in You, to praise You. There are so many things in which we can take pride and boast in that are not appropriate, that are fragile, that do not honor You. But Lord, we pray that our lives in all their complexness and in all our need, that our foundation and hope and confidence would be the Lord Jesus Christ and our boast. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to our songbooks.